We're doing the book of Shmuel, and we're nearing the end. We had learned about the rebellion of Avshalom. We had learned how Achitophel, the great advisor, told Avshalom, let's go attack tonight. And Hushai Ha'arki, David's good friend, had come and said, no, gather everyone, because if you try to attack tonight, David will suddenly ambush your people. Everyone will hear that you lost your first battle. People will think you're weak and you cannot succeed. Achitophel's advice was the correct advice. Hushai was just there to cause Avshalom to stumble. And so Hashem wanted Avshalom to stumble. And so Avshalom adopted Hushai's advice. Hushai sent word to David, you can't sleep here tonight, you have to run. And David runs. When Achitophel sees that his advice was not taken, he goes home, he gathers his children, he gives them over his last will and testament and commits suicide.
Why?
Why? Because he knew it was over. His whole hope was to lead Avshalom to greatness, to avenge his son-in-law's death against David. Remember that Uriah Achiti was his granddaughter's husband. He held it against David ever since David married Bathsheba, his granddaughter. And so Achitophel wanted David killed by his own son Avshalom. According to some, Achitophel also had in mind that once Avshalom takes the throne, Achitophel will have him executed for having raped his father's concubines. And then Achitophel would take the throne. But now that he saw that Avshalom was not following through on his advice, he was so smart, he was in his 30s. He was so smart that he...
31.
I think 33. So Gemara doesn't say here. If I remember correctly, it says he was 33. 30-something. I think 33, the Gemara says. And so Achitophel went home and committed suicide. And Avshalom gathers a tremendous force. And he has Amasa, his chief general. And Amasa is really... Yoav's cousin. He's also David's nephew, so he's also Avshalom's cousin. And David is getting ready for war, and he sends the people out. He sends a third with Yoav, a third with Yoav's brother Avishai, thank you, and a third in the hands of Ittai Agiti. So he has three generals, his two nephews, the two sons of his sister Tzeruiah, Yoav and Avishai, and Ittai Hagiti. And he tells the nation, let me go with you to war. Why is he telling them that? He's hoping they'll refuse. Because everyone knows that the war is over the second David is dead. They're not going to focus on anyone but him. And that's what the nation tells him. Hey, if you go out to war, no one's interested in killing anyone but you. So you're much better for us if you stick around and daven. So David says, fine, if that's what you want. David stands by the gate to see the nation out to war. And he commands the generals in front of the people. He says, do me a favor. Watch out for the child of Shalom. He's over 40 years old. Watch out for the child of Shalom. And everyone hears as he commands them not to kill Avshalom. They go out to war. And Hashem causes a great plague in the forest that... The people are consumed by the wild animals of the forest, the people attacking David. And more people were killed by the wild animals of the forest than the 20,000 that Yoav and his men killed. And Avshalom's men start, Avshalom is on the run, and David's men start chasing Avshalom. And Avshalom's mule goes under some kind of thorn bush. And his hair, his beautiful long locks of hair, get caught in the tree, and he is left hanging as his mule keeps riding. And the man sees him hanging there, swaying by his hair. His hair is caught in the tree, and he runs to Yoav, and he says, I saw Avshalom hanging in the tree. And Yoav says, that's great, why didn't you kill him? I would have given you 10 silver coins and a new belt. And he says, if you'd have given me 1,000 coins, I wouldn't have killed the king's son, because we all heard the king telling you not to. And I would have killed myself. It would have been suicidal for me to do it. The king would have heard, and you wouldn't have said a word afterwards. I would have just gotten killed by the king. And Yoav says, that's not true, I'll prove it to you. And Yoav himself takes three spears corresponding to the three hearts that Avshalom stole. Avshalom stole the heart of Israel, the heart of his father, the heart of the court. And he takes them and sticks them in Avshalom's heart personally. He kills his cousin Avshalom. But Avshalom is not yet dead. He's swaying on that tree with three spears in his heart. And Yoav tells his 10 lads, surround him and beat him till he's dead. And that's what they do. His 10 sword bearers, his 10 arms bearers, they surround Avshalom and beat him till he's dead. Now that Avshalom is dead, Yoav blows the horn and the nation stops the war. Yoav figures, why should more Jews die? Avshalom is dead. Well, why didn't Avshalom just draw his sword and slice his hair and continue running? So we have a tradition, the Talmud tells us in Sota, that Avshalom was about to do that. He drew his sword, and he looked down, and he saw perdition open up under him. And he realized that if he cuts his hair, he's going straight down. So he didn't have a choice. He had nothing to do. He's hanging there. And that's how he was killed. They took his body. They threw him in the forest. They made a pile of stones above him. And Avshalom died without leaving a single heir. All his children died in his lifetime. We have a tradition that this was a punishment because he burnt Yoav's crops. You remember that when he wanted to consult with Yoav and Yoav refused to come, so he told his servants, burn his crops. After they burnt his crops, so then Yoav came charging and said, why'd your servants burn my crops? And Avshalom said, well, why didn't you come when I summoned you? And then Avshalom demanded of him to give word to King David. So we have a tradition that anyone who burns his friend's crops will not die leaving behind an heir. And that's what happened to Yoav.
So Yoav gave word to King David of what?
That Avshalom wants to meet him again.
To meet David again?
Yeah. So
what happened as a result?
They met again.
David met again.
Yeah. Ahimaaz said to Yoav, I want to run and give the king word that God has saved him from his enemies. And Yoav said, today it's not a good idea. You'll go on a different day. And it's not a good idea. You know, the king's son died today. So Yoav tells a servant that was there, go tell the king what you've seen. So this servant, it says he's called the Cushi, which means a black servant, he ran to give word. And Ahimaaz insists, he says, let me go, I also want to go. And Yoav tells him, why do you want to go? Today it's not good news for the king. Ahimaaz says, I want to go, let me go. Yoav says, fine, you want to go? He insists three times, go ahead. Ahimaaz runs, and he's run so fast that he passes the messenger. And David was waiting, and the lookout says, I see a man running. So the king said, if he's running alone, he must be coming with a message. The man looks down and he says, I see another man running after him. So the king says, okay, another person running alone, that's another person with a message. So the lookout calls down and says, I see the first one, his run, his gait is like Ahimaaz ben Tzadok. So the king says, oh, he's a good man, he must be coming with good news. So Ahimaaz runs in and he says, peace, my king. And he bows before the king. Blessed is Hashem, your God, that gave over the people who lifted their hand against my master, the king. And what is the first thing David says? Is peace with the child of Shalom. Ahimaaz knows Avshalom's dead. Ahimaaz does not want to be the one to tell David that Avshalom is dead. So Ahimaaz says, well, I saw the crowds gathering to send a messenger to the king, and I know Yoav sent another messenger, but I don't know exactly what the news, what's going on. So the king says, okay, stand, let's see what happens. So the messenger came, and the servant says, may my master, the king, always get news like today that God has saved you, punished those who arose against you. And the king says, is peace with the child of Shalom. And the black man says, may all your enemies be like him and all those who rise against you to do you harm. And David got upset and he went up above the gate and started weeping. And as he walked over the gate and walked along the fortress, he wept and yelled, "My son Avshalom, my son Avshalom, if only I could die instead of you, Avshalom, my son." And Yoav got word that the king is weeping and mourning his son Avshalom. And that day, the nation that risked their lives to save David, they went against all odds. They were outnumbered. They were a small group against the whole people of Israel. They came back home. Instead of coming home victorious, they came back home in shame because they heard the king was upset. And so they stole their way back into the city the way a nation steals their way back after losing a battle. And the king wrapped his face and wailed out loud, "My son, Avshalom, my son." Notice he calls Avshalom his son 8 times. Chazal say every time he called him his son, he raised him from one level of perdition. There are 7 levels in perdition. He was on the bottom rung. He said he called him my son 8 times, 7 times to raise him out of perdition, and 1 time to put him in the world to come. Yoav comes to his uncle, the king David, to the house, and he says, "You have shamed the face of all your servants today. They risked their lives to save you. And what do? You've shown that the lives of your sons and daughters and wives and concubines are worthless. You've shamed us all. Who do you love? You don't love us. You love your enemy. And you must hate us. We who risked our lives and suffered on your behalf. What you are showing today is that if all of us were dead, all your servants, all your officers, and Avshalom were alive, then you'd be okay. And now get out there and talk to your servants. Because I swear by God that if you don't go out today, no one's going to remain with you tonight. I will take everyone away. And believe me, it's going to be worse than all the evil that you've suffered from the time you were a child till now."
This
is Yoav, his nephew, talking to him.
It sounds like more than an office.
Oh! We see the power of Yoav. Yoav is not only a huge Talmud Chacham. Yoav is not only the chief general. Yoav is also a tremendous politician. And David HaMelech has said before and will say again that Yoav and Avishai are too powerful for him to curb. They have too much sway and too much power. And we have a tradition that when Avshalom rebelled, Yoav was interested in joining the rebellion. And that's why Yoav will ultimately join the next rebellion, and will, as we will see in the beginning of the book of Kings, in the beginning of Melachim, when Adoniyah ben Chagit rebels against David, rebels against the reign of King Solomon. So then Yoav is in cahoots with Adoniyah ben Chagit. But this time Yoav didn't make it. Now, David was just threatened that in spite of the victory, so then Yoav is threatening him, "If you don't show your loyalty to the people who risked their lives on your behalf, I'm going to take the whole nation away from you." And he's not bluffing. David goes out, sits by the gate to welcome the people back, and the people hear that the king is waiting to see them, and they come before him, and of course he welcomes them. And the rest of Israel, they fled back to their tents. Now, the people of Israel have to do an accounting with themselves. What do they want now? Here they joined the rebellion against David, where David had been their great savior all along. He's the one who, he was the first leader who overcame the Philistines. Remember, Samson didn't overcome them. King Saul didn't overcome them. It was only when David came on the scene that we finally see an end to the Philistine rule. And now the nation has to ask themselves, this king who saved us from the Philistines and from all our enemies, he ran away because of Avshalom. We anointed Avshalom, but he's dead. So now what? We might as well invite David back to the throne. And this brings us back to the point we discussed at the beginning of the book of Shmuel, and that is that there are halachic levels to a king. A king gets his halachic strength not only from the fact that God appoints him, the prophet appoints him, the Kohen Gadol anoints him, but also from the fact that the people accept him. And when the people cease to accept David, he loses a level of legitimacy as king. And so the people have to reinstate him. David sends word to the people of Judea, why should you be last to reinstate me? You are my family. And tell Amasa, my nephew, who was the chief general in the rebellion against me, that I will appoint him general instead of Yoav. You see, David is trying to usurp Yoav. So David is trying to show the people that he is going to unify the people and he's not going to hold it against them for the rebellion. He's even going to take the chief of staff of the rebellion, Amasa his nephew, and appoint him chief general instead of Yoav. The people of Judea hear that David is interested in taking them back, and they're all swayed at once, and they send word to the king, we want you back. And the king comes to return, and he first wants to enter his home territory, his tribe of Judea. Remember, when King Saul wanted him dead, the people of Judea offered him asylum. He was safe so long as he was amongst them. They were his tribe. Now, during the rebellion, they weren't with him. And so David asked them, why should you be last to take me back? He wants them more than anyone else. He knows he needs them on his side. He comes to the Jordan, and the tribe of Judea comes to lead the procession, leading him back into Israel. Now, he's about to enter, he's about to cross over the Jordan. Remember, there was the head of the courts, Shimi ben Gera, who was cursing David when David left Israel. When the rebellion began, Shimi came and threw rocks at David and said, get out of here, you bloody man. God has finally paid you back for all you did to my relative, King Saul. And now you're going to suffer the way you deserve. And then Yoav offered David, he said, let me go and cut off his head. Why should he be cursing you like that? And David said, obviously God doesn't want me anymore. Shimi is a Talmud Chacham. He wouldn't be cursing me if God didn't tell him to curse me. Well, now that David is being reinstated, it's sort of proving the point that Shimi had no right to curse David. Shimi knows he's going to be a dead man. Here he cursed the king, threw stones at him. So Shimei's a very smart man. He runs together with the tribe of Judea, with 1,000 men from the tribe of Binyamin. And he brings Tziva, the servant of Saul's house, and 25 sons and 20 servants. And they put their shields down in the Jordan. And these 1,000 some odd men split the Jordan for King David to cross through. They literally split the Jordan with their armor. And they're there to support the king in passing. And as King David enters the waters of the Jordan, in front of the people of Judea, in front of the tribe of Binyamin, the tribe of Binyamin are the tribe that should have been King David's archenemies. They still have their loyalties with King Saul, who was usurped. The tribe of Judea are the people that David is trying to win over. He wants to win over those who should be most loyal to him, Judea. He wants to win over the tribe of Benjamin, who should be least loyal to him. In front of these two groups, Shimi purposely throws himself at David's feet, and he says, please, don't hold my sin against me. Don't hold that which I sinned against you when you left Jerusalem. Please don't take it to heart, my king. I know I sinned, and that's why I made it my business to be first to greet my master, the king. And David is stuck, because technically, Shimi deserves to be killed. Practically, if he kills him, then when word will spread, no one will be confident to rejoin David's forces, because everyone's going to be scared. If he killed Shimi, maybe he'll kill me too. So David is in a position where he cannot take Shimi to task. And so his nephew Avishai says, what? Just because he's throwing himself at your feet, now you won't kill him? He cursed the one that was anointed by God. How could he get away with it? And David realizes that at that moment, if he kills Shimi, then he's endangering the reunification of Israel. On the other hand, how could he not kill Shimi? Shimi definitely deserves the death penalty. And so David knows that he has to find a way out. On the one hand, to show the people that he's going to accept them back. On the other hand, to close the cheshbon, to close the deal with Shimi. And so what David says is, and this is where we'll pick up, Ezrat Hashem, next week.